Welcome back to another week of Ruck Me Dead. Certainly need that uplifting intro music this week, I think. I'm Wendell Hussey, and I've got Errol Parker here with me in the Desert Rock FM studios to dissect another week in the world of rugby. We've got plenty coming up. How are you, Errol?
I'm all right, mate, but I don't know why you need cheering up, mate, because the game of rugby that I got up on Sunday to watch was actually an incredible game. I couldn't take my eyes off it, and it was such a grudge match. And they wore each other down. And in the end, like, I really think the Canadians really earned that victory. I mean, the US, it's very strange, you know, because they have got so many registered players, but they just produce hot garbage every year. Yeah. But it just goes to show that this game that people in this country and people in New Zealand especially and around the world love is that it isn't just how fast you can run on the wings. It's a game of structure and theatre and just intelligence about, you know, who can outfox who in the breakdown and who can do this. And it was the Canadians who came away with the bickies this time. It was an amazing game.
Yeah, it's a bit like New South Wales and Queensland in a rugby league sense, isn't it? New South Wales, they got all the playing base, they got all the money. But Queensland just has that flair, that romance, that love, that understanding of the game, a little bit similar to the Canadians, I think. And
they have the joie de vie, as they say down in the French Quarter of our cosmopolitan desert republic.
It was a bit attritional at times, that game, but it was really good to see a rivalry just played out like that, tight, hard fought, but lots of enterprise as well. It was just an entertaining game, one that you can really enjoy getting up for. So that was good. Yeah.
And if that wasn't enough, Wendell, we have the next clash between the Americans and the Canadians is on Sunday on Stan Sport, of course, at 11 a.m. What an absolutely cracking time slot for arguably...
Is that Sunday or Saturday? That'd be Sunday, wouldn't it?
That's a Sunday, mate. It's on the 12th. So you've got the American Eagles versus the Canadian Leafs, it looks at 11 a.m. in the morning. It's being played at the famous Rugby Coliseum of Infinity Park, wherever in God's name that is.
The Canadian graveyard, they call it.
Yes, that's what they call it, mate. The leaf blower.
Where American Eagles go to die.
And then after that, if your rugby appetite hasn't been quenched by then, you've got two Antipodean teams, the All Blacks and the Los Pumas. They're playing at Seabus Super Stadium at 5 p.m. And then I guess later on you've got, I think they're the South Africans versus the Golden Kangaroos. They're playing a bit later.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be all right then.
At the same stadium, though.
Double header. That sounds all
right. Double header.
And we do have rain forecast up here in the Channel Country on Sunday. I just had a quick look at the weather report there. So that's perfect. We are still free up here. So nice Saturday night. Feeling a bit sore and sorry on a Sunday morning. Drizzle on the roof. Watch the Canadians and US go at it. Then a bit of Argentina and All Blacks after that. That sounds like a very, very nice Sunday indeed.
It is pretty disappointing, though, that these games are being played on a Sunday where, you know, they could be being played, I guess, on a Friday or a Saturday. But I guess up here in Queensland, Wendell, we do have the rest of the free world sport on during the week. So it's only natural, I guess, that they, you know, play this club-level game, I guess, on a Sunday.
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it, that the SANZA and the world of rugby has had to take a back seat for the NRL this week. Obviously, Friday night, Saturday night games and a Sunday Arvo game. They've got the Pumas and All Blacks at 5 p.m. on Sunday, so you can tune in for the second half of that, which hopefully the Argentinians are putting up a bit of a fight. And then you've got your Sunday night Springboks and the Kangaroos, Wallabies on
Wallabies,
Sunday night.
Yeah, actually... Yeah. The Wallabies, they did play on Sunday. They played the All Blacks. They played them over at Fortress Perth.
There was another game of footy on the weekend, wasn't there, Errol, on top of that Canadian US battle?
This is the one that I watched after the Canadian game.
Mm. Yeah, history was made by the All Blacks. They've finally knocked the Wallabies off their perch at Optus Stadium over there in Perth.
Yeah, look,
the
100%
win record. Yeah, it had never been done before, but the win record is broken. The Wallabies have fallen at Optus Stadium to the All Blacks, and it was pretty tight tussle, wouldn't you say, that game as well?
Yeah, look, it was. It was, from the get-go, I thought it was a very, very tight contest. I thought that both teams played very well. It was just, you know, only one or two errors in the first half that really swayed this this very tight result. But look, this is probably one of the first games I've seen. Is it the first game where we've got those new red card rules?
It's the first game where they've been utilised. So they brought it in for the Rugby Championship with a 20-minute red card. And, that's the first time it's been used. So it was interesting. Interesting that we actually conceded points again when we were a man up. Not ideal.
Well, it's happened before when it'll happen again. But I thought, just going back to this, because this is, you know, when I started to really tune into this game, obviously when our captain, Michael Hooper, when he came off, I thought things were only going to get worse. Mm-hmm. I mean, Hoops is a true leader among men. He's the everywhere man. He's an absolute Trojan when it comes to his craft. But thankfully, it was just to come off to get a few staples in that noggin of his, and he was back on the field sporting a very leery fucking headgear. But he was back on the field. But I thought the tide was starting to shift. I mean, I don't know about you, Wendell, but when Geordie Barrett was awarded that red card, sure, it was accidental. There was no malice in it. And he was straight back over to Tokoro Betty at the end, you know, after they'd blown the whistle. He was right back over there to see if he was okay. To be given a red card, though, for that, look, yes, it's contact with the face, with the boot.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It looked fucking bad.
Yeah.
But there was no malice in it, you know. And sometimes you don't mean to run the person over at the pedestrian crossing, but it happens sometimes.
these things can happen in this world we live in. And I tend to agree with you. I think it probably was a red card. You know, unfortunately, yeah, as you said, no malice, unintentional, but he did get his foot in the face, contact with the head. That's what we've seen with World Rugby over the last couple of years, contact with the head and you're off. And yeah, it wasn't the shoulder or the chest or the head. It was it was the foot. There was an Argentinian guy sent off maybe a month ago against Wales for accidentally getting stepped and accidentally headbutting a guy in the face. This time it was a foot for Geordie Barrett. That's just it. Anything, any part of the body contacts the head, dangerous, you're gone. So I kind of think maybe I've got my green and gold tinted glasses on there, but I kind of thought that was a fair enough decision.
Perhaps, Wendell.
And it didn't really cost him, you know, only 20 minutes off the field, Geordie Barrett. One thing I really did like about it, though, I enjoyed Korobidi going down like a sack of potatoes and staying down. He's probably the toughest bloke, I would say, in that entire team, and he was straight back up after the red card was given. But given what happened to him in that French series, I think he learned a lesson that this is some contact to the head. You stay down on the ground until the referee points to the big screen and then goes and has a look over there, and then you go about your business. So that was a smart piece of play from Marika. I enjoyed that.
Well, look, you don't get the opportunity to take Geordie Barrett out of the attack, you know, too often. And, you know, that was a golden opportunity for us to really take the game by the scruff of the neck and to really, you know, drum home that dead rubber victory. But look, you know, they are a class act, the Kiwis. I mean, look, you only have to look at the stats of the game, really. I mean, the New Zealanders made 161 tackles to, you know, we made 88. You know, they did miss more tackles, but, you know, you can afford to miss more when you're making twice as many as the other team.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if it shows up there on the stat sheet, but the two intercept tries we give them every single game don't exactly help.
If only they were listening to this podcast, you know, week in, week out, like the 59,000 people do each week. It's just stop throwing cutout passes. I am not a rugby expert. I'm not. I just watch it on the fucking television, and even I can see that even if you have numbers, just throw it through the hands. It's faster. It's faster. Even if there's no one there, take the ball, take your marker, fucking run at him, and before he tackles you, you pass the ball to the next person.
I have heard you say that before down at Sergio Oval a couple of times, Harold. I certainly have.
When you throw those big fucking ballooning passes, I mean, it's like throwing a sirloin at a fucking Rottweiler. It's It just takes it and runs.
Yeah, a Rottweiler in a big black jersey who will run off and put it underneath the post. I will just quickly...
It fucking boggles my mind.
It does, it does. But I will just quickly come into defence for poor old Matt Phillip, who's been copping it. He was the one who threw that first one on Sunday arvo. I like it was not a great decision, but the poor old lock had sprinted up out of broken play, busted himself, and was just in the wrong position.
No, that's not his fault.
No.
A forward, when they find themselves in the back line, is above all criticism because forwards are simple people.
Mm.
They stay in their position, they do a job, they don't seek glory, they don't do this, they don't do that. Their job is to provide mint ball.
Mm.
For the even dumber people in the fucking back line.
Yep.
And if a forward, by the grace of God, finds himself in the back line and he finds himself holding the fucking ball in the back line, anything he does with that ball, you cannot criticise.
Yes. It is. It's excusable. And poor old Matt Phillip, he got spooked.
Totally excusable.
There were loud noises all around him, All Blacks rushing up, and he threw a big ball for...
And he threw... arguably the worst pass of the series, but that's fine.
Because
that's fine.
He's a lot totally pushing up in support, having a go.
He could have had an absolute brain snap and just put up a bomb.
Mm.
I mean, that probably would have been better. You know,
yep.
The entire team is offside, and then he just runs backwards.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, run forward.
Go forward, Matt.
Go. Yeah. Run us all on side, mate. It's like, but you, that's what you've got to do.
Mm.
As a forward, the worst thing that you can do if you find yourself holding the ball and you're in the back line is do nothing.
Yes, true. Very true.
Just do something. Pass it, run it, kick it, just do something.
Yeah. So good on Matt for trying, and I think everyone can get off his case about throwing that intercept pass.
It's a learning curve.
It is. So good on Matt for trying, I reckon. But, yeah, it was another tough afternoon of viewing. I almost would have liked us not to score a try at the end there. Like, we only lost by 17 points in the end. I would have preferred the 24, I think. Like, I think that was a pumping. We make it close like that, because I think it papers over the cracks, really.
It's... strange in a way that this is how we always end every game, is with a flurry of points.
Mm, yeah.
But, you know, when we're actually in the grind, when we're under the mortar in the pestle, we shit the bed, and when the game's over, we spread the ball. Funnily enough, we don't throw any fucking cutout passes. We pass the ball, we draw our man, and then we pass, and holy fuck, there's a hole that's opened up.
Oh, wow, and he's over.
And we have just run through it.
Yeah. I just want to say... bit rough, three All Blacks tests that we've, as everyone's aware, have lost all three of them. Now we've got to play the world champions, South Africa, for two in a row, so potentially start the year 0-5 before we get tired and run down and we play Argentina, who are going to be in the same boat. But, bit of a tough schedule. Obviously, Argentina, All Blacks are on earlier on Sunday, and then we're on it Sunday night, which not ideal, and... obviously, we've had to give a bit of ground to the National Rugby League, but I think some commendation should be given to the people at Rugby Australia. You know, they've made it work. Yeah, they have made it work.
They have made it work.
And when I saw that the doubleheader was on this weekend, I've got to be honest, my first thought was, I bet they've put this on at the same time as the Saturday doubleheader of Rugby League on Channel 9. But no. They've found some separate time. They've found some separate space. So once everyone, because there's only four games at NRL this weekend, so once people watch those and they want a little bit more, Sunday night, don't want to think about tomorrow, bang, Wallabies, Springboks, not bad.
It's good though. I mean, like anyone can, you know, heap a bunch of crap on Rugby Australia for doing this, for doing that, you know, all that stupid shit with the fucking media pigeon, ha ha ha, fucking all that shit. But it seems like they've actually, for some reason, started to make a concerted effort at actually building the game out. So, you know, we're definitely now at the absolute fucking rock bottom. I mean, I don't see us being any worse unless we get to the point that the Socceroos were at in the early 2000s and in the 90s, where, you know, we'd be getting, you know, really pumped that, you know, we're through to a game that might qualify us for the World Cup. I mean, I can't see rugby union in this country getting to the point where we have, you know, the next Stirling Mortlock crashing over to score a try in the dying kind of minutes of a World Cup qualifier against Namibia in
you never know, Errol,
15 years time.
If these losses keep coming,
we're going to the World Cup.
Yeah, maybe that's what we start celebrating. That's it. We've secured our spot in the World Cup. And, you know, even if we just make it out of the pool, if we make it to the quarterfinals, that's a resounding success.
It's like we have a must-win game against Sri Lanka.
Yeah, we've got to beat Sri Lanka and hope results go our own way, and we're through to the World Cup, baby.
Yeah. I mean, look, rugby could descend to that point. I really can't see it happening.
Oh,
but,
fingers,
you know,
crossed.
Stranger things have happened. But look, in terms of, you know, how far rugby can descend into, you know, quagmire of misery, we have two more teams joining us in the 2022 Super Rugby season. So that's two more teams which are going to flog the Waratahs next year, Wendell.
Yeah, someone different though. I think it's like fresh faces that can put 40 on the boys from the Harbour City, which I don't mind. Yeah, we've got a new competition. It's called Super Rugby Pacific, which
I like it too.
It's
got a good ring to it.
Yeah, Super Rugby Pacific. I think it highlights the global nature of rugby, which is always one of its best traits, I think. But I wonder...
If it was up to me, it would be Pacific Rugby Super. But that's just me.
Yeah. But yeah, it could be good.
I'm not an ad man.
It has to be to do with the SA part of Sanzar not letting us call it Super 12 again, I reckon. Because that was the dream.
The absolute fucking brains trust at fucking Sanzar, of course.
I reckon they're saying, well, you haven't got South Africa in there, so you can't call it Super 12 like the glory days, because that's what I was thinking, 12 teams. Let's go back to Super 12. Let's get that fresh. Just don't even bother making a new logo. Just go back and get that logo from the early days, and then we just roll with that going forward. But
I can't believe there were that many teams anyway. Mm. Then, you know, 12 teams. Fuck, that was ambitious.
It was.
But it's good now. It's back.
Yeah.
So one thing that really did take me by surprise, so there's two new teams. You've got the Moana Pacifica, which is basically every island but Fiji, including parts of Fiji. And then you've got the Fijian Drua, which is just Fiji.
Yeah.
For all those years, we couldn't support a team in Perth, but now we believe that the small island nation of Fiji can support essentially two teams.
Maybe some resources magnates from the respective islands have gotten behind the two franchises. Who knows? But, yeah, well, Fiji are essentially going to be part of our comp. Well, they're going to be like they're part of the Australian side, and Pacifica are going to be the Kiwi one, or they're part of the Kiwi side of the draw. But everyone plays each other once with an extra few derby matches, and then top eight make finals, which is an interesting one.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be... It's going to be a long season, that's for sure. But look, I think, you know, really the halcyon days of this game were really when we had a team from every continent. I mean, I do miss seeing the Bulls, the Lions, the Sharks, and the Stormers battle it out. I also miss the Juarez and the Sunwolves. But yeah, look, actually, if you're looking for cheap Sunwolves merch, I haven't seen a hoodie cheaper than a Sunwolves hoodie right now.
Oh, I would get provided, one.
But wait... I think they're Japanese sizes. So Clancy's been caught out doing this. He got an extra large Sunwolves shirt, and it looks like it's body paint.
No chance. He looked like Buxan from the Rugby World Cup wearing it.
Essentially, yeah. But he hates rugby union, so he probably won't be listening to this. But
I have been trying to get that Romanian rugby jersey we spoke about a few weeks ago online, and I just cannot get it. Like, I've gone down the Google Translate wormholes on different Instagram pages and shit, and I just cannot find it. It's like they're not selling it, which is really frustrating.
Yeah.
It's potentially the best jersey I've ever seen.
I think the only way to get something like that would be to really, you know, have, you know, your hands and legs tied to the top and the bottom of a tree, and then have a mate just hit you nonstop with a cat of nine tails all over, and then just wait until it starts to heal up. And
get you've got that, like that multi-
the blood and the goo and the pus. Yeah. And that's kind of what it looks
that
like.
That real colour scheme, yeah, that could do it. You don't have any connections in Bucharest, Errol, that could sort me out with a jersey?
Look, I'll put the feelers out, but look, no promises, but if I do find one, I'll get you your Large or extra large? Well, I think in Romania they fit large.
Yeah, they're pretty rugged men there, I think, in Romania. So
we're not getting any younger, mate.
No.
I think the Moana Pacific, I think their union's New Zealand rugby, isn't it?
Yes,
I think I've got that right. Yep.
Yeah. And that's like, hopefully, and ideally what's supposed to happen is we give the Fijian Drua, or we let the Fijian Drua get some players, and New Zealand Rugby Union lets Pacifica get some players. So they're supposed to be allowing them to have three All Blacks, I think. But no one's been tossed up yet.
But that makes common sense. I mean, they should honestly be having that rule for the Waratahs. I mean, they should really be, each year they should be forcing, some quality players to go there, effectively in exile.
Yeah, send some boys over from the South Island to the MPC comp over here to the Waratahs and let them play. That's what they should be doing. Yeah. But let's hope that happens.
Couple of Southland boys.
I worry that we could have a bit of a Penrith Shoot Shield situation where these clubs come into the comp, they aren't really given the players and they aren't really helped out by the established clubs, and then in a couple of years' time they're continually getting flogged, and these established clubs go like, oh, bugger, they're not competitive, better cut them hard. Damn, what a shame. What else could we have done? Oh, well. And then just that's the end of that experiment. And we move on to the new and updated Super Rugby format that is 2024 or 2025 when we inevitably change it up.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that these two new teams are essentially a three-way joint venture between Australian Rugby, New Zealand Rugby and World Rugby. And I think that rather than World Rugby essentially give the money to Rugby Australia and Rugby New Zealand to make a new team, they've actually, for some reason, they've actually given the money directly to the region, which is great. I think the absolute worst thing that you can do is give the money to an organisation like Rugby Australia, or give it to an organisation like Rugby New Zealand, where, you've got these 60-year-old blokes from fucking North Auckland and North Sydney that need to get paid, and they
need to have long lunches, and they don't pay
all that. That it's this own little ecosystem that happens. So it's good that the money is going to the right place, and no one's taking a clip on it.
Yeah, it's not going to the pyramid scheme that is the Oz and New Zealand rugby organisations.
Yeah, it's not going to the NRC, where it's essentially taking a pile of money out of an ATM and just throwing it down the street and letting the first 10 people there run and grab it. It's much different to that.
So, look, let's hope it works. It's exciting, at least. It'll be fresh. It'll be something new that maybe we'll get some new viewers in.
Mate,
so
I'm looking forward to it. I'm pumped for it.
I'm
keen. It's going to be great.
And there's
I'm going to adopt the Fijian Drua as my second team.
Yeah, love it. Yep,
the sickest jersey.
Me too. Always be a Reds man, obviously, but the Fijian Drua, I think, will be the second team. They have a fucking sick jersey. When they were playing in the NRC, the Drua had a unreal jersey, and the Fijian national team's jersey is sick too. So I'll happily get around one of them. There's also some other proposed formats getting tossed up in World Rugby. There are calls.
Yeah, this one being spruiked by Steve the Money Man Hansen.
Yeah, old Shag, as they like to call him over there. Who his win-loss ratio has gone down a little bit in recent times. He's been doing some work with the Bulldogs in the NRL and not getting as many wins. Not such a great mind as he was when he was over there at New Zealand Rugby. But anyway, he is the ambassador for this new push for Rugby 12s.
So that's basically you lose your two flankers, an outside and a winger then.
Two flankers and, an outside or a winger. So essentially that's what they want to do. And they want to have it as like a month-long kind of tournament. They're referencing the IPL, which is interesting to say the least. But they're referencing the IPL and they're saying that they're going to get all these Tier 1 and Tier 2 nations guys to come together and play for these essentially made-up teams, like the Manchester Madmen or whatever over there in England, and then they play for a month in this 12s format against each other, And it's this great new exciting kind of format that we've got, you know, similar to 2020 and one day cricket, which a lot of people are raising their eyebrows at. And a lot of people actually in New Zealand are saying, interesting how guys like Steve Hansen were opposed to the private equity deal for New Zealand rugby over there, yeah. The Silver Lake deal, and are now pushing this, which definitely would go against the Silver Lake private equity deal, just letting these players go and be mercenaries and play for some made up team.
Yeah, that Steve is a mentor or an ambassador
for
him.
Yeah, exactly. He's got his finger in the pie.
I think he said in the newspaper, he said that money and camaraderie will make the World 12's concept a compelling, you know, argument for doing it. It's like, how much money are we talking, Steve? How much money?
Yeah.
Because these thoroughbreds get 6 to 10 weeks off each year, depending on how they go domestically.
Mm.
And you want them to spend it in England, which is, you know, miserable at the best of times.
No thanks.
You want them to go there and spend their free time there to earn, you know what, fucking £100,000 if you're halfway decent.
Yeah.
I can see that working if you're, you know, like a bit of a rugby journeyman. Like, you're on your way to greatness. Like, I can see, you know, the likes of Fergus Lee Warner going over there and getting his £100,000, taking it back here, timesing it by three, buying some fucking good Angus cattle, good looking in the face, putting him on a bit of land and just going back to the force at the end of summer. I can see people like that doing it. And for that, I think it's great. But I think he's not going to get the people that he wants over there. He's not going to get the absolute, you know, he's not going to get the Sonny Bills. He's not going to get the Kirtleys. He's not going to get, you know. He's either going to get, you know, young go-getters, or he's going to get people who are old and fucked.
Looking for a paycheck.
In Europe.
Yeah, for sure.
Just over in Europe, just, you know, just to top up the last bit of the mortgage before they have to go and be, you know, a salesman for Aristocrat, or they go and work in some, you know, audience engagement role at fucking New South Wales Rugby or something.
Yeah, because the clubs and the national bodies aren't going to let their star players go and play in this random mercenary comp.
Oh, fuck no.
I mean, and as you said, over in England,
And get terribly injured.
Yeah.
Go and get spear tackled into a cricket pitch in fucking Liverpool.
Yeah, Liverpool. Like, come on, Steve. Put it down in the south of France, or put it in Italy or something. Or maybe go to the Iberian Peninsula. Like, let's play it in Spain.
Yeah.
Let's grow the game there. Why are you fucking doing it in England?
Where there's a little bit of heat.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the end of the game, you can walk off and you can have some tapas. You can have some jambon.
Mm.
You can have some fucking olives and some sangria.
Yeah.
Where, you know,
that's better than camaraderie.
You walk off the field in England and then you're still in fucking England, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you're in the north of England. It's like, oh, let's go out to a local restaurant. What's that? Everything goes into a deep fryer.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And you can have warmish beer.
You pick what
thanks,
you want,
Steve.
And then it goes into a deep fryer, and then it comes out, and then you eat it.
Yeah.
And then you lie in bed for 6 hours with shocking indigestion and wonder why you're in the north of England.
Not appetizing at all. So, I mean, the format of it as well is weird. Like, we've got sevens, which people enjoy tuning into for, like, you know, a couple of days a year here and there.
Because
watch the tournaments, that's fun. But, like, what is
12s? It's a carnival-like atmosphere.
Yeah, exactly. But what is 12s? I mean, fuck, might as well put another bloke on there and then introduce things like play the balls and 40-20s and just fucking call it rugby league.
The only reason why T20 cricket took off is because there was no other alternative.
Mm.
Where the other alternative for this world 12s is rugby league. If you want to watch type of rugby union that's, you know, a little bit short, a bit less going on, scrums are less important, kicks are more important, you know, maybe just change over to the NRL.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they'll always have you. They'll be happy to have good players there. They love poaching.
It's the best rugby league competition in the world.
Yep. And they love poaching rugby players, so it makes sense.
And it's on the same network.
Yep.
You just change from Gem up to Channel 9 and there you go.
Bang, bang. There you go.
There's your World 12s rugby.
Yeah, well, anyway, good luck to them. Let's see what happens there.
Good luck to
them,
mate, yeah.
But we should finish off with a positive note. Hospital Challenge Cup final over the weekend. Red Heavies getting it done. Pretty comprehensive. Took Jeeps a while to get on the scoreboard. But it was a huge win for the Red Heavies. Well, Stephen Moore playing his last game again. He's already retired, but he retired again after this huge win in the grand final for first grade. So it was good to see. It's always interesting, I reckon, like, those suburban clubs where you play them at the suburban grounds, where you have the barbecue hissing, you got the tins opening, people on the hill, that kind of vibe in and out of the change rooms, you know, it's a community kind of atmosphere. you, and then you take it to the big stadium where it feels empty. They do it with a shoe shield as well quite often. I think they went to Bankwest last
year.
It's
so
maybe.
Dumb.
It's, yeah.
Just play it at home in fucking Tigerland or wherever the fucking Dirty Reds play, whatever they're called. Just play it there. Or just... There's plenty of other places they could have played that besides an empty rugby league coliseum.
It's a bit of a strange one, you know, like, yeah, that's why people love, they love their community and club rugby, taking it away for that final game, kind of just, I get the novelty of it, yeah, you're playing in the big stadium, it's, you know, just like the real thing, but yeah. Anyway, so yeah, congratulations to University of Queensland, getting it done, huge, huge win, they've been pretty dominant all year, so it was, I think, a fair result in the end. Let's hope they do it back at Ballymore next year if the Renos are done in time. But, always good to see club rugby.
If not, they can just do it in a park where everyone just stands around on the sideline like they're going to watch the golf or something.
I think it's better for viewing as well. Like, I know they can't get as many, you know, fancy spider drone cameras and all that sort of stuff floating around, but I think just the atmosphere and the people around, it actually makes for better viewing, so... Anyway, but yeah, congratulations to those guys and all the other winners of the respective grades and Colts grades over the weekend. That's enough for us now. We've covered quite a few topics, so I think we'll leave it for now. We look forward to talking to you after, I guess, another win.
After another famous win by the Canadians, Wendell, on Sunday.
Yep.
Looking forward
to
it, mate.
And maybe the first win for our boys in green and gold against the world champion Springboks on a Sunday night to lift the mood, but we'll see how we go.
Yep.
Anyway, until then, enjoy the footy. Bye-bye.